Hi, I'm Laura. Welcome to The Deadline. I'm your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. It's a nonprofit organization with the mission of seeking out the paranormal light. Well, actually,
but if someone wants to make it a profit organization, they're willing to give us the money.
That's true, too. But yeah, the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society was founded back in 1998, and its mission is to seek out definitive proof of life beyond the grave.
Seek out new life and new civilizations.
to boldly go where no man has gone before. And now you have to say where no one has. Isn't that pathetic? I'm so sick of this politically correct crap.
They can shove it up my
I grew up hearing Oriental. Now I'm told, oh, you can't say that. It's Asian.
I thought it was chink.
Oh, Jesus. edit, bleep, bleep, bleep. I mean, what are the other ones?
Take me back to the days of All in the Family.
Oh, wasn't that a good show?
And leave it like that, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't care if they were PC or anything. You know what? This is how it was, and this is how I'm going to say it.
Oh, all this stuff. It just kills me. Oh, no, you can't say he's black. He's an African-American. I'm like, but he's black.
No. I can't say the N-word.
Well, no. In any circle, I wouldn't say that. That's terrible, but... But, I mean, you know, it throws me for a loop because then I'm like, well, African-American, that's so many syllables to have to rattle off. Can I just say it's a nice guy over there and just not even get into it, you know?
Dude,
yeah. Because it's like, But anyway, yeah, so the NJGHS was founded back in 1998, and that's what we're still kicking around for. We're up to 387 members.
So, and does that mean in 2 years we have to have a party?
Yeah, unless it happens faster. We are committed to having an all-out bash when we get our 500th member.
Well, yeah, but in 2008, we have to hit a 10-year bash, too.
Ah.
Ah.
10 years? A whole decade of this. And if I don't have the full-body apparition by then, man,
you're hanging up the camera.
Shoot me. Not with the camera lens, the real deal. Anyway, let's move along to our wonderful NJGHS meetings. All meetings are open to the public. You're welcome to attend. They all start at 7 and end promptly at 8:30 p.m. First one is going to be... Actually, you know what? I take that back. My boo-boo.
I
screwed up. This one will have already passed by the time this show airs.
Duh.
Oh, boy. So, sorry. But there will be a meeting in October. It's always the first Wednesday of the month is the Hazlitt Library meeting. That's the Central Jersey Division. So check your calendars for the first Wednesday in October. And that'll be...
Which would be October 4th.
October 4th. Let's make a note of that. Thank you, Brian. October 4th is our Hazlitt Library meeting. That's the Central Jersey Division. It's located at 251 Middle Road. September 19th is Hackettstown. That's at the Community Center in the Blue Room, located at 293 Main Street. That's the Northwest Division, the one that I head up. And the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann, will be taking place on September 28th in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. If you've missed any of these dates, times, places, and I've screwed it up royally, feel free to check our website where it will be accurately detailed.
Maybe.
Yeah, I will. So that's njghs.net. Why not .com? Because it wasn't available when I put this together 10 years ago.
I wonder what is on that.
Huh?
Have you tried putting it in to see what comes up?
That was the evil site.
Oh.
Yes, the dark blank days of the NJGHS.
But is it available, though?
I don't know, and I don't care. Kind of like that teacher that said, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? And the kid said that.
Because
I don't know,
always,
and I don't care.
We can always get the domain name and have it point to the other one. So if someone puts in .com by accident, it'll still take them to the .net site. Aha.
Well, for a while there, the .com was showing what was stolen from the .net site. So... But you didn't hear that from me. Hey, you know? Anyway, my cousin Vinny, he'll take care of it. So, guess what?
What?
Yes, it's September. We're still waiting for more votes to come in on Podcast Alley. However? October is looming. And I want to give out some dates of places that I'll be presenting the paranormal investigating presentation.
Has it been updated?
Not yet. But it will be. It's going to have some new some new things. Anyway, I'll be at October 5th at the Jackson Library in Jackson, New Jersey at 7 o'clock. October 13th, Leisure Village in Lakewood, New Jersey at 7 o'clock. And these are all PM. October 14th, the Science Fiction Society of Northern New Jersey will host my presentation at Borders Books in the Paramus Plaza in Paramus, New Jersey at 8 p.m. October 19th, the Belvedere Women's Club in Belvedere, New Jersey. I think it's going to be in the Presbyterian Church there at 7:30 p.m. October 23rd, Mattawan Aberdeen Library in Mattawan at 7 p.m. And November 1st, Ocean County Library in Lakewood, New Jersey, 7 p.m. So
Laura will not be available for the month of October.
No, you know, it's busy. It's definitely, but it's fun.
That's going to be a busy month for both of us.
Yeah. And you're moving too, yep. Right? Oh, boy. On top of everything else.
So by October, look for maybe a little more sparsely podcast. Maybe every other week.
No. We're doing them every week, dude. I don't care.
Well, then we're going to have to be doing all this about four of them at one time.
We could do that. Maybe like, you know, in the middle of September, we'll just sit down and do like six shows, you know. We could do three shows on a Tuesday night and three shows on a Thursday night. The only problem is, you know, a lot of over the course when they're airing, that's time elapsing.
Wait,
and they won't.
On a Tuesday night?
Yeah. I'm home in time to see Gilmore.
Not if we do three.
Oh. All right, so we'll do two on Tuesday night, we'll do four on Thursday.
No.
What?
We can't do it Thursday.
No, what am I saying? Supernatural.
And Smallville.
Smallville, I can take or leave, but I like my Supernatural. I have to have my Jensen fix. We haven't even discussed my crush for Jensen Ackles, and I don't know how many shows.
You know what? It looks like we're doing six shows on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday TV sucks. There's nothing on. That's why I want to move the monthly meetings to Wednesday nights. Greg and Sherry were right to pick Wednesday night. It totally bites for television viewing, so you might as well have a meeting, you know? Come out and stare at us.
We got better drama than they do.
Well, some meetings, yeah. It's been interesting. So we're going to move along here. We're starting something new. I don't know if I told you about this.
New?
It's something
us?
New. Yeah, yeah.
No.
It's called a shout-out. And we're starting a new tradition here on The Deadline. Each week, we're going to give a shout-out to a paranormal investigating group or ghost hunting club. We want to recognize those exceptional organizations out there in the field who are doing this research and sharing their findings via their websites. So, if you would like your group shouted at, send an email with the link to your site to thedeadline@njghs.net. We'll check out your site, and if you make the grade, dudes, we will email you and let you know which show to listen in on for your shout-out to be aired. So for our very first shout out, I went through the links and stuff that we have, and I found of the links on the NJGHS site, our shout out goes to Osprey.net. Now they're located at www.osprey.net. It stands for the Olathe Society for Paranormal Research and Investigation. You should check out their site. It's very comprehensive. They give all like the stuff an investigator needs with the moon phases and the geometric storm stuff, as well as the investigations they've done. I mean, I was really impressed.
Well, you know what? As soon as you vote for us, go check it out.
Exactly. Yeah, in that order. But yeah, so Osprey.net. It's OSPRI.net. So check them out, and a nice shout out to them. Kudos, you guys. Great website. You know what? Even though this is airing after you've done Eastern State, technically we're recording it, and you haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't.
So we can't even. It's going to be 2 weeks after you actually do that people will get to hear about the findings and what the first...
Well, actually, we needed that time because the people have to go through their evidence and resubmit it back.
And they're allowed to get... They have 2 weeks from the time they do the class, the hands-on class at Eastern State to produce their report of findings,
which they're graded on.
So then they will become full-fledged paranormal investigators in the eyes of the NJGHS. Woo-hoo.
Woo.
And for those of you who are like, well, what's all this about? Because I didn't hear about this. Well, there's a whole page. It's called the certification page on the NJGHS.net.
And there's a commercial on here.
Oh, and there's even a commercial. It's true. So you can check it out on the site. And if you're like, you know what? I want to really be in one of the most haunted prisons. I want to really get all the training that I need. You get the Ghost Tech book by Vince Wilson for all your technical stuff. It is like the manual to have for a ghost hunter.
But just let everyone know, after this one, there won't be any more until at least November 15th.
Oh, yeah. That's right, because the prison is real busy with its terror behind the walls.
Which is an awesome...
Did you go to it last year?
No.
Oh, they gave me VIP passes.
Brown noser.
No. Sean Kelly, who's the program director, he was really nice. He gave me 4 VIP passes, so I took me, the then hubby, and the 2 kids, drove down to Philadelphia. And, you know, I thought VIP pass meant you get in
first,
or you get to...
Ahead of the line.
Not even that. Just that you got to go to the whole thing. Right, and we got down there early enough anyway because I didn't want to go when it was dark because it could be very scary. And I have my son, he was 8 years old at the time.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, I said, we'll go when it's kind of light out so it's not as bad. And they start right on the sidewalk. When you're walking up, they've got all the actors in like police uniforms and prison guard uniforms, but they've got bolts sticking out of their cheeks and knives coming out of their eyes, and they're all like, you know, look like corpses, but prison guard corpses, and they start like leading you in. It is amazing, and you have to go up on the haunted bus and out of the bus and all through the prison and different scenes and stuff. They did a phenomenal job. Now, the VIP part came in. When we were done, we came out. We were out in the courtyard area of that prison, you know, that area. And they had, like, that one of those, like, kind of those carny booths where you get, like, what's that drizzle? A funnel cake. Like, funnel cake and a hot dog stand and stuff.
Right.
And the kids are like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm like, yeah, okay. But I look down on the pass, the VIP pass, and it says to present this ticket over here. And I'm like, well, come on, let's go see what this other presentation is, and then we'll come back and get something to eat. So we go to this other doorway. We hand in the VIP cards. They give us nice name tags. They welcome us, give us all these brochures. We go in, we see Al Capone's cell, and then right there, like in kind of that, I don't know if it was just down a ways, like where the, not the actual rotunda, but before the rotunda, in that hallway, they had tables set up, beer, wine, sodas, trays upon trays of sushi, hot hors d'oeuvres, sandwiches, snacks, every kind of Hershey candy on a tray you could imagine. And they're like, yeah, that's what the VIP pass is for. So we got to eat that stuff and have a drink and something to eat. And so, yeah.
I was a freaking star on there, and I didn't
get
it.
Well, you gotta speak up, dude. I mean... But hey, I don't have a husband anymore, so if I get any more passes, you can go.
Yeah, when I get there Saturday, there's going to be nobody there except for the guide.
Well, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, even though when we were there last time, Sean did show up. We didn't know it because we were in the central rotunda, but...
you mean when you were investigating, not the fox thing?
No. We were investigating. I happened to look down, and I said to the guy, you know, there's someone coming in the front gate. And she came back later on and said, oh, that was Sean just checking to make sure everything was okay.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah, he's really a nice guy. And I haven't met Brett in person, but...
I think I have.
Talked to him on the phone a couple times.
Emails.
Yeah. And I feel like I know him because I've been, like, sending teams down there. I've been down there, like, myself 3 or 4 times, and now... You know, we're using it for the certification program. So, anyway, so make sure you check out ospri.net on the web, and that's our shout out to them. And like I said, if you're a ghost hunting group and you want to get a shout out, make sure you send your website to the deadline at njghs.net, requesting a shout out on the deadline, and we'll check it out and see what we can do. All right.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
Hi, this is Rosemary Ellen Garley, author of the Encyclopedia of Ghosts and Spirits and many other paranormal books. You're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for ParaShare. Thanks to those of you who take the time to write in and share your ghostly encounters and paranormal experiences, you're now entered in the monthly drawing for membership in the NJGHS. So if you haven't done it already, do so. Send your ParaShare, your ghostly encounter, your weird experience to thedeadline@njghs.net. And you can even use the handy form that's on the deadline page of the njghs.website. And if your story really rocks, we're going to have you come in to the studio here in Parsippany and read it and tell it yourself. Travels at your own expense, but you do get
the Dunkin' Donuts coffee
from your Brian Sant, the tech guru and producer of The Deadline.
All I know is, when is somebody going to come in here and read one?
Jeez. Well, you know, they either live too far away. I mean, Australia or this.
That's no excuse. They have planes.
This one's coming from Michigan.
Yeah.
So.
They can thumb it.
We got to get, well, you know, yeah.
Come on, local people. That's pretty bad when we get more ParaShares from out of New Jersey than in New Jersey.
And think about it. Weird NJ. We are the state that started it all. This whole phenomenal madness now of every state having a book of Weird Illinois and Weird Massachusetts and Weird...
Well, actually, no. The next one after that was Weird USA.
Yeah, went to Weird US.
Yep.
But now all the states, they're doing it. They're just milking it. Totally milking it. But New Jersey was first.
And the best.
And the best.
And we still have the quarterlies that come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them doing that in all these other states.
What quarterlies?
Weird NJ comes out every quarter.
Oh, no. It's every 6 months.
Oh, it's every 6 months now?
It always has been every 6 months.
I thought it was every quarter.
No. Well, it's always every 6 months.
See how much I know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not saying much that, you know, we're the state that started it all. But, okay, whatever. You don't want to share your stories? Fine. We've got nice people out in Connecticut and Michigan and Australia who are jumping on board
here. Screw you.
No. No. Take that back. But anyway, we do have a ParaShare today from Sarah with an H. Simmons. She's from Berrien Springs, Michigan. And Sarah writes, "This happened in April of this past spring. While it didn't happen to me, it happened to my 4-year-old son. For his sake, I acted like it was no big deal, and I mostly observed him rather than ask him questions. I was seated at our dining room table and talking to a friend on the phone. I had the timer going in the kitchen as a reminder to my son to use the bathroom." I guess she's doing the whole potty training thing. "Anyway, when the timer went off, I got up, took him to the bathroom, made sure he used it, all while still on the phone. He asked me in all seriousness, 'Was that you?' I'm ashamed to say that because I was on the phone. I was too distracted to really listen to what he asked me, and I just replied, 'No, no.' When he finished up in the bathroom again, he said, 'I thought that was you in the hall.' Still distracted, I said no, went back to the kitchen, set the timer for him again, and continued on my phone conversation. The timer went off again while I was still on the phone, and I knew at that point I needed to get off the phone, yeah, you think, and take him to the bathroom, and then get busy. When I took him to the bathroom again, he asked me, in all seriousness, 'Was that you?' This time I really heard him, and I said, 'Was what me?' He replied, 'In the hall. Was that you in the hall?' I was growing a little concerned in that it was the third time he brought it up, but because I didn't want to alarm him, I just answered, 'No, Mommy wasn't in the hall. I was at the table.' He said, 'I really thought that was you.' Needless to say, I started glancing all around, but nothing seemed out of place. I knew there couldn't be anyone in the house, but I looked around as nonchalantly as I could. When he was finished in the bathroom, I glanced in at my daughter's room, and I saw that my son had gotten into her marbles and that they were all over the floor. I told him that he needed to go in and pick them up, and I started heading back to the kitchen to fix his lunch. When he realized I wasn't going to stay in there while he picked up the marbles, he got very alarmed to the point of crying. For him, this was very unusual behavior, as he prides himself on being a tough guy. I told him that I would stay in the room with him, and he then proceeded to start picking up the marbles. He was seated on the floor with a clear view of the hall, and I noticed that he would look up every few seconds with an expression that was very fearful. He would tilt his head as though he expected to see something there, or that he was at least looking to see if something was there. Excuse me. While this is clearly my opinion, I'd wondered if what he'd seen in the hallway was what I had seen a few times myself. That very, very tall shadow sliding along the wall. I didn't want to ask him, though, because I didn't want to make him fearful in his own house, even more than he obviously was at that point. He hasn't mentioned it since. The most recent incident happened Monday, August 21st, at 5:54 in the late afternoon. I was seated at the computer, my children were seated on the couch, and there was no one else in the house at the time. While nothing made me look up, I just happened to turn my head to look at the hallway where there was a beam of light high up on the wall. I then saw the shadow glide past the beam of light. It was again exceptionally tall, well over 6 feet. The top of the shadow was rounded as though human-shaped, and it seemed to move with no apparent effort down the hall towards my children's bedrooms. The shadow was so distinct that for a few moments, I thought there may be someone in the house, and I quickly got up to check. Nothing, though. The next day, which would be Tuesday, I waited for the same time again, and again there was the same beam of light. I went over to investigate and discovered that the light was coming from our sliding glass doors in the living room. I did everything I could think of to try and produce that shadow that I'd seen the previous day, but I had no luck. For one thing, I'm only 5'7", and unless I put my hand up over my head, my shadow didn't cast high enough to even make it into that beam of light. I did everything I could think of, but the one thing I wanted to and couldn't was go outside and walk past the sliding glass doors. There was no one else in the house but me, so I wanted to be able to see the results of any shadow casting to that particular experiment.
Ooh.
Wow, very good, Sarah. She's really thinking it through there.
Exactly. See, it's a sign of a good paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
Try to figure out what could cause it.
Now, you wonder, like, if it's the same time each day and it's a beam of light coming through, is that like a truck or something that seems to go that route or reflect?
Well, I'd say it's probably more like either a street light or sunlight.
Yeah.
But then the shadow thing is weird. Because if it's the same time, it's hard to be a truck. A truck passes by exactly the same time.
Yeah. I always think, I don't know what show. Oh, maybe it was Chips years ago. On Chips, they had to recreate an accident, and what happened was this one truck was carrying panes of glass, and at the right time that this car was coming around,
it blinded them,
yeah, when it reflected the sun. So
you know that feeling.
Yeah, driving on Route 80. Hello. So that's cool. Thank you very much, Sarah, for sharing that. And you know what doesn't get a lot of talk these days? And I found this really fascinated me when I was a kid, and I saw this film footage on, like, I think it was on In Search Of or something, on Bigfoot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And they always talked about how Bigfoot smells.
I see him
smells.
Every night. What? Bigfoot.
Where?
On TV. He's on the Mythbusters commercial.
Is he really? Oh, I don't watch
He's
that.
He's Canadian.
He's a Canadian Bigfoot?
Yep.
a Sasquatch from Saskatchewan. But what always freaked me out was when they talked about it on the shows about how Bigfoot smells. Like, you smell him before you see him. They say he's really nasty smelling. And
why does he take a bath?
I don't know. Maybe that fur is dry clean only. But anyway, so I was looking it up on the web, and I got the picture, which I'll put on our site, of that famous shot, which a lot of people always say is bogus. I don't know. Some people have disputed it over the years, but I remember seeing that film footage as a kid, and it totally freaked me out. And then my father gets his master's degree and decides he's taking the summer off, and we're going to go cross country.
Nice.
Except now we're heading out to where I hear that after seeing that show, that's where Bigfoots are. And I'm like, every time we had to go in and like pull into a park or somewhere and I had to use like one of those port-a-johns and be like, oh God, I had to keep sniffing to make sure I didn't smell anything gross to make sure Bigfoot wasn't around.
Wait a second, you're in a port-a-potty?
Well, not in the port-a-potty sniffing. I know that smells gross. But every time we're in the park, I'd be like, you know, to make sure I don't smell.
I don't know. With fathers, you don't want to do that either.
I guess not. But they say Bigfoot is an alleged species of ape and man. Okay. Now, you know, he's been spotted in almost every state in the Union, they said, except Delaware and Hawaii. Well, you remember that Wayne's World movie where they're like, I'm in Delaware. I mean, there really is nothing in Delaware, not even Bigfoot. Hawaii, you know, maybe he can't swim and has a fear of islands. Who knows? But anyway, most people know him. This is how I grew up hearing about Bigfoot, was hearing him called Sasquatch. I did not know he had all these other names as Omama or Omaha. It sounds like Omaha. What the hell is that? By the Northern California Hoopa tribe. Skunk apes or napes in the southern United States. And Sheetics. Sheetics in the Cascades. Memmigwiko by other American Indians, and Yetis. I think I've heard of Yetis. That's in Alaska and Asia. Yeah. Well, anyway, these creatures have been described as being between 6 and 9 feet in height. They walk gracefully in an upright position in smooth strides with knees bent. Weight of the bodies and massive shoulders are covered with either short to long hair. Their facial features are human, and the skin on their faces, hands, and feet, which are distinct and human-like, are dark and leathery. Their heads, which are peaked at the back, sit right on their shoulders. Some sightings of Bigfoot say that he has a jutted chin, heavy brow ridges, a receding forehead, and large square white teeth. The female of the species has large breasts. Like, we really needed to know that. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Family groups of these creatures and individuals as well have been sighted and described often in the Oregon to Washington area. Yeah, you see? And that's like when we were heading out that way, like Yosemite and everything. I was so petrified I was going to come across a Sasquatch. I know. Let's see. They thought by some to be a hominid that avoids human contact, keeping to themselves in their wilderness habitat, areas that have enough wildlife and vegetation to support them. So they're vegetarians? So then I didn't have to worry.
Unless you are vegetarian.
Well, no, I don't think they eat vegetarians. I think they are. It sounds like they're vegetarians. That's neat. Let's see. Now, what was interesting in all of this reading and research that I was doing about these wild men, I came across a Professor Porchev. He investigated the case of a female Alma. Now, Almas, that in the Altai Mountains of Mongolia, wild men are known as Almas, and they've been seen and known about the area by the people there for years. When people first settled this region, it is told how they drove the wild men out of the immediate area. Okay, so this Professor Porchev investigated the case of a female Alma described as having an ape-like features and covered in hair, who was captured by the Altai Mountain people in the mid-19th century. They named her Zaina. She eventually was domesticated and could do simple tasks such as grind corn. She loved grapes and wine, and after drinking heavily, would crash out for hours, which explains how she became pregnant several times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Her children, being half modern man, could talk and were rational human beings. The last of her children died in 1954. Professor Porchev, however, interviewed her grandson, who had dark skin and negroid features. His jaw was so strong that he could pick up a chair with a man sitting on it with his mouth. Yeah, there you go, ladies. Anyway, so I read that, and I'm like, now let me understand this. They said modern man. Does that mean regular guys were having their way with a drunken Zaina the Alma?
It sounds like it.
A hair cover. All right, so I go to look up Zaina then, because I'm like, all right, now I'm curious. What's the deal with this?
Zaina, warrior ape?
That was Zaina. So I found this. In 1850, a group of hunters were prowling on the Achamachir region of Georgia in Russia when they were astonished by the sight of a young female wild woman. She looked somewhat human, but also had many ape-like features. With great difficulty, they captured the woman and brought her to civilization for study, where they named her Zaina. Although she was clearly not an ape, Zaina didn't look quite human either. Unlike other feral captures, which were obviously human in appearance, she had thick arms, legs, and fingers, a massive bosom, and was covered with dark hair.
They like to mention the bosom.
The bosom, and then the hair. It's like I'm picturing a walking vagina with boobs. This is like sick. It gets worse. No. Let's see. More primitive still was her behavior, which was so vicious that she had to be kept caged for the first few years of her captivity. The details of her life in the Russian village are sketchy, but apparently Zaina's behavior mellowed after a few years, and she was taught to perform such domestic tasks as grinding corn. Yeah. Well, apparently she went on to perform other domestic tasks.
There was a lot of grinding going on.
And a lot of yes. Although Zaina never learned to communicate through human speech, she obviously had developed social abilities. Yeah, since she gave birth to several children, sired by various human fathers. How these pregnancies came about exactly is unclear. Oh, Nick, come on. Are they kidding? These are professors. They're supposed to be so intelligent, and they haven't figured out, like, you know, the birds and the bees and...
They're uber
getting
nerds.
Between Alma's knees and... It rhymes. I mean, give me a break. All right. But it is known that Zaina accidentally killed at least one of her children by trying to bathe it in a cold river. Apparently, she thought her offspring had the same tolerance to cold as she did. Yeah, I was reading up on that. Because she was covered in hair and everything, that was what the one thing they noticed would really upset her was to bring her into a regular room. Because the regular air temperature was so hot for her, she couldn't stand it. She liked being in the very cold, and this poor thing takes her little baby down to wash him in the river and basically kills him because it's too cold.
Nice.
Several of her other children were taken from her for their protection, you think? By families in the village who raised them as their own. Unlike their mother, the children did learn to speak, and they eventually had children of their own. Zaina died in 1890, and the youngest of her children survived until 1954. Her grandchildren, according to researchers, had dark skin, Negroid features, and were extraordinarily strong. What was Zaina? Professor Boris Porchnev of the Moscow Academy of Sciences believes Zaina might have been an Alma. An Alma is an elusive creature of Central Asia that is somewhat akin to our own Sasquatch, but with an important difference. Almas are said to be much more human-like than the common descriptions of Sasquatch. And Porchnev theorized that they might be a surviving clan of Neanderthals. Now that's interesting. It has been recently speculated that Neanderthals could and did breed with Homo sapiens in the distant past, and just perhaps not so long ago. Zaina certainly fits the description.
Very
nice. So, there you have it on Bigfoots and Zaina. Little slut that she was, I'll tell you. Drinking and then having, you know.
Hey, that happens to a lot of women.
Not I, but oh well. So, yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Very interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I don't have a picture of Zaina. I couldn't find one. But if anybody has one, send it to me because I'm really curious.
She's all over the internet. Lucy Lawless.
That's Zaina. Okay. Let's move on to haunted trivia.
Good idea.
Okay. Last week you were asked, what is the name of the family who built the Bontida Castle in Transylvania? And the answer is Banffy. B-A-N-F-F-Y. Okay? Now, this week's haunted trivia has a skill level of very challenging.
What's okay. ever semi-challenging, very challenging?
I keep forgetting to change what the challenges are. I just keep regurgitating this, you know, alternating between shows. I don't know. But this, I think this is pretty challenging. How's that better? Pretty okay. challenging?
Okay. It'll do.
All right. The Fort Garry Hotel, located in Winnipeg, Canada, is home to a beautiful lady ghost in a lovely white ball gown. She is sometimes seen as a ball of light going up and down the hallways, hovering at the foot of guests' beds, or sometimes her presence is felt as pressure bearing down on the guests' beds. She has yet to hook up with the male ghost who has been seen dining alone in the middle of the night. What is the suspected name of this ghost? And I'll give you a hint. The real woman attended the ball held by the Victorian Society of Nurses at this very hotel in 1913. Can you give us the lady ghost's name? Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net, and you'll win the CD crafted by our own Brian Sant of all our earlier podcasts and a bumper sticker.
Doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. You know what I think we forgot to do?
What did you forget to do?
I forgot for August, of all the parishioners, we didn't pick a winner for membership in the NJGHS.
Nice going.
I know. My faux pas. I apologize. So I will go through all the parishioners from August, and I'll put the names in a hat, and I'll have one of my coworkers pick out a name, and that person will be awarded the membership, and I will announce that on the next show,
which will be on the 15th, I think.
Well, yeah, this is your September 8th, so
September 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Late.
All right, September 15th, NJGHS winner membership from August. There, I'm writing it down so I don't forget. Because, you know, that's my problem. If it's not in writing, it just goes right out of my head.
Well, that's called old age.
No. Well, yeah, part of that, but, you know. So, yeah. So, you know, make sure you send your answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net. And, yeah, that's right. It's September. This is our one-year anniversary of podcasting.
God.
I can't believe it. We're going to have to do something really special, like when we get to like our 25th show, or where do you think we're at?
We're over 25.
We've got to be over 25, right? Because we weren't weekly when we started. But
I mean, we've been bi-weekly since what? Jeez, I don't even know when we started bi-weekly.
I think we started that in last December or so January. And then,
well, even January, that's...
Yeah. And well, then no, by we, April, no, we went weekly.
We almost... Yeah. Wow. I'll have to check.
Yeah. Well, when we hit, our 50th show, we should get all the team leaders in and have a little on-podcast air party to celebrate.
We'll be drinking.
Yeah. You know.
Hey, we'll bring the equipment to a bar.
Oh, yes. 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 No.
Hey. Well, matter of fact, we'll take it to a haunted bar.
Yes.
We'll go to Charlie Brown's.
No, we've been there.
Yeah, but they have a nice bar.
I don't know if they'd let... Well, they might.
If we spend the money, they don't care what we bring in there.
We could go on a Tuesday night when it's $1.50 margaritas.
Okay.
Then we'd have cheap drinks. It's a slow night. That's why they sell them so cheap at night, because the bar...
See, a lot of us have to get up for work in the morning.
So you only have two or three margaritas. Yeah, I'm getting the look. The look that says, but I want to get wasted and act like a slut. Laura, come on. All right, well, we'll have to do it on a Friday night. But that would be difficult because, A, it becomes more expensive. You don't have $1.50 margaritas. B, that's a prime bar night. They're not going to want us taking up a booth or whatever and lugging in all this equipment.
Hey, if we're spending the money, we can take a booth.
And where are we getting all this money to spend? I'm on a fixed income now.
Well, we'll find something.
Yeah.
Maybe someone will give us a donation.
Do you think Donald Trump would, like, sponsor the event?
Maybe.
Hey, Donald, if you're listening, When we have our 50th show, could you send me a check for like maybe just like $5,000?
Hell with Donald. Bill Gates. They're giving all these billions to charity.
Yeah, but it's the Donald. I think he's better looking than Bill Gates.
Yeah, but you know what? The more money you have, the better looking you become.
Yeah, it's like financial beer goggles, I guess.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator.
Hi, I'm Vince Wilson, author of Ghost Tech and founder of the Maryland Paranormal Investigators Coalition, and you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, you know what?
What?
I have forgot to mention Ghost World Conference 2007, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Be there or be square.
Oh, yes. You must be there. In fact, the reduced registration price is going to be going away. I think as of November 1st, you can't register for $95 anymore.
Well, I better register.
Not you, your staff. But for those of you who would like to register to make sure you're in, for this Ghost World Conference that's taking place at the brand new Wyndham Hotel and Conference Center in Gettysburg at Gateway Gettysburg. It's going to be July 20th, 22nd, 2007.
Which is opening this month?
Yeah, I believe September 7th, the Wyndham will officially open. And, you know, so they're going to have our conference out there and... It should be really fun. You know, you should really check it out. But like I said, for $95 is how you can register now. And there is the NJGHS buddy rate.
The buddy rate?
Now, the buddy rate is $85. And that's good till April 30th, 2007.
Ah.
However, you have to be a registered member of the NJGHS.
As does the buddy?
Yes, it's the buddy rate. In order to get the buddy rate, you have to be a member of NJGHS. You have to email me, laurah@njghs.net, and request the link for the buddy rate because it's a private page that we have set up. I will send you the link, and you can register for Ghost World for $85 per person. Well, per member of the NJGHS. Right. Other than that, if you're a non-member and you want to just get the better
package.
Rate... You know, the good rate right now is $95 because it's going to, after November 1st, it's going to start going up. And the at-the-door price, I think, is going to be $150 if we even have any room left.
Jeez.
You know. Yeah, but that's for like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of stuff. We've got it jam-packed. So check out ghostworldconference.com, okay? Definitely stay tuned to the NJGHS.net website and sign up for our Yahoo groups to get the latest and greatest info. And thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, bitch.
Can barely hear it. Do it again.
Oh, brother.
Hail to the king, bitch.
There he is. Hail to the king, Brian Sant. Our team leaders, Laura Lindemann and Gregory and Sherry Irish. and Don Slepian of DonSlepian.com for our theme song. And thanks to all of you who listen. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.